Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, March 5th, 2018, and today's show is titled Perversion. Before we get into the show, we'll do a quick intro. I'm Shamika Tia. As I said before, I am 42 years old. I live in Georgia now, and I am the mother of one male child. I am studying and growing in the Word, and I have invited you to take the journey with me. And some of you that are familiar with the show, I used to announce that I'm not a pastor or teacher or all that stuff. However, I'm now in Bible school, so taking Bible classes. That's going pretty good. Actually, the first semester is almost finished, so I'm excited about that. I'm getting prepared. I'm still under construction, but I'm definitely getting prepared. All right, I invite you to get out your own Bibles. I will be, when I'm referencing scripture, I'll be reading from the King James Version. Whatever version you get or you read, I definitely advise you to get a King James. It is the original, the closest to the original language. I mean, I was in church the other day, and I forget what chapter he was reading, but it clearly said Ethiopia in my Bible, and he was using another title, and I was just like, I couldn't even follow along because, you know, it's only certain wording that was twisted and turned and updated in these newer version Bibles. However, to me, that's very deceptive. So you can read the Bible if you want. You can read those other versions if you want to, if it makes it easier when you're studying, but keep you a King James nearby because you're not going to get the full picture, nor are you going to get the full story reading that other stuff. And that's what I'm going to call it stuff because I couldn't believe it. What you call it? Let me just set this up really quick. Okay, before I get started, y'all know I like to read the seven rules regarding prophecy, right? The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number seven, let the Bible be its own interpreter. If you stick to those rules, when scriptures, it's impossible to veer up the road called straight. So keep that in mind. Okay? As I said a little while ago, this show is called Perversion. And I had this whole intro and outline all together. And just as I was about to start the show, I was prompted to start in Revelation 12. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because y'all know I like to teach from the root perspective. I don't like to just tell you what's happening without telling you why something is happening. And why brings the understanding. Some people don't care about details and they don't care about why this and why that. But I happen to, because I've always been like a thinker and I can think for myself, and I'm not satisfied with just saying it is what it is. Like, I don't even use that in my everyday language. I want to know why it is the way it is. You know, I'm like that girl. So when people be like, it is what it is, I'd be like, no, it's not. Or why is it? You know, I need to know why. So today we're going to get into the why of everything, of why of the perversion. And I like that word perversion. Again, I was studying for something else, and that word just kept popping up at me. And well, first let me read Revelation 12 to address the root, and then we'll get into perversion and the definition and really, really attack it from the root. That's the way it needs to be attacked.
attack is not the, well, it should be attack. Yeah, I'm going to say attack. I'm going to say attack. You can be, you can attack it for, from offensive mode, and you can attack it from defensive mode. I like to stay in offensive mode because, yeah, you can fight off your attacker, but isn't that terrifying? Fighting off the attacker once you are already in the attack, or you can kind of get in the bushes and then wait till your attacker to walk by and then smite him, right? Why wouldn't you do it that way? Us humans make, we make this walk a little bit more complicated than it needs to be for that exact reason. Don't want to stay in offensive mode. Anyway, let's get into this. Revelation chapter 12. And it starts off by saying, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Again, this is Revelation 12. I just saw a message from Dwayne Dixon. Just I wanted to tell you what happened to me. Yeah, what happened? Let me keep going. And then verse 2 says, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the seventh, verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Verse 7, and there was a war, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our day and night. Which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Let me read that again. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Dwayne Dixon says, inbox me as soon as possible. Are you aware that I'm doing a live show, Mr. Dixon? I mean, if it doesn't have anything to do with the show, it's going to have to wait. I'm sorry. If it does have to do with the show, then you can text it. You can post it here. And when I'm done reading the scriptures, I can share it if it's relevant. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and time, and a half a time from the face of the serpent. Verse 15, And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's us. Which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I can stop right there because that's the full verse. That's the full chapter, I mean, of chapter 12, which it gives you the beginning, the middle, and the end of what this life is all about and what it's like as a remnant living on this earth. That's exactly what happens. I'm not sure who you learn with, but they'll all say this is symbolic and this has nothing to do with life. And my Bible is accurate and my Bible is real. And my God is not into trickery. And where God is using a parable, he'll say he's using a parable. And where God is given symbolism, he'll say symbolism and then interpret the Bible for you. So there's really nothing to wrestle with, okay? This is exactly what happened. Now, this is what happened in heaven. So we all know that the devil's not in heaven. We all know that the demons are not in heaven before we got here, like this says. So to wrestle with it having any other meaning to me is just something that one would have to clear up in their own spirit. Scriptures is interpreted already, you know. No matter what you're reading, if it's not saying what it's saying there, you keep reading, it'll eventually give you the interpretation. So this is what's going on. The language used in chapter 12, for those that are newly joining, it's Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And again, I'm going to read chapter 17, it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments. Now, that doesn't mean it's the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, right? So, isn't that amazing? I mean, that's saying a mouthful, because then if you're going to wrestle with what it actually says, then you have to wrestle with the name Jesus Christ being there. Because if it's not talking about us, then why would Jesus Christ's name be there? If this is a lot of people would wrestle with, if this happened before we got here, then why would, I thought Jesus came after Mary had him. Like I said, it would bring so many why that sometimes you just got to grip your mind from all that why, because you were not following along or probably wasn't walking this walk as earlier as you should. And had you have, then you would have known that Jesus was there from the beginning, so you don't have to read that last paragraph and kind of wrestle with, wait a minute, I thought this was before we got here. I thought this was before Adam and Eve. So why would Jesus be there if Jesus was born of a virgin, Mary, years later? Like, don't wrestle with that language. Sometimes you just got to take the scriptures at its word. That's what's important. What scriptures you're reading? King James Version is the most accurate. We speak English, stick to English. But that's why it's very important to just take scripture at its word, at face value. Exactly what it says is what it is. You got a lot of people just wrestling with all kinds of things that they should not be wrestling with. And the reason why I read this is because I wanted to tell you why we're having this problem. I mean, it should make more sense. I mean, you never thought to yourself, why is this devil, you know, going, why does he go to and fro? Like, why does he, like, why is he obsessed with us humans? Like, after a while, these are questions that should have came up in your spirit. You know, it definitely came up in my spirit, and it really never made sense to me that you're the devil and you got all these special powers, and the highlight of your day is having a human slip up and fall. To me, doesn't really seem like an exciting life. It doesn't seem like an exciting life to me. I mean, if you can do all you want to do, anything you want to do, because you have powers as well, similar to our Creator, why would you spend your time doing that? That never made sense to me. But then when you read this, like, oh, okay, this is what happened before we got here. Oh, and this is why he's so angry with us. Oh, he's making war. It's not he's angry with us. He doesn't know us. He's angry with the Lord. Okay, he's angry with God. And we need to understand that. And when you understand where somebody's coming from with certain things, then that should help with your defense mechanism as well. Now, knowing that, right, that's Revelation chapter 12. And like I said, you can dissect that yourself if you want to. I've already done enough reading to know what that's talking about us. So knowing that bit of information, now I'm going to take you somewhere in Revelation. We can get into the title of the show and what's actually going on here. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Right? So we understand what happened in heaven. This happened in heaven. What I read to you in Revelation chapter 12, that happened in heaven. Okay, now, fast forward to earth, man, woman, first man, Adam, first woman, Eve. Flip over to Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent, right in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he's initiating conversation. You pick up on that? Satan will initiate conversation with you. Satan will initiate dialogue with you. He will initiate communication with you. If nothing has changed in his tactics, he's been the same script, different cast. It's worked for many, many, many years, okay? And he's got he doesn't even tweak it a little bit. It's the same way every time. He reaches out, initiated conversation with Eve, verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4. So second, he gets her to start dialoguing back with him, like he normally does. This is just the way he does it, right? Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Right there is where perversion began. Right there. Right there is where perversion began. He perverted the word right at the beginning. And like I said before, when I was studying for this show, the last thing I thought to do was to go over and, you know, I like to attack things from the root anyway. You know, I start with the etymology of it and then I take it from there. But it wasn't until almost that I was like, oh, wait a minute. If I'm going to talk about perversion, why wouldn't I get to the root of it or where it began or how it began? It's right in the garden. Right in the garden is where perversion took place. Now that you know that, bit of information. I should say now that I've said that bit of information, I'm going to read the definition of perversion to you. I'm sorry, I'm trying to multitask. Oh, I forgot to say, if you would like to dial in, the guest dial-in number is 563-999-3682. Again, it's 563-999-3682. And that's if you would like to ask a question or make a comment audibly. We're also on Facebook Live. And I am going to open the chat room for those that may be joining via web. And I don't have the instructions for that. You just got to know that web. You know the web, you in there. I don't really know the web like that, so. And how I get in is not how you will be getting in. I'm coming in from an account way, you know what I'm saying? Let me just open the chat really quick, because you never know who could be joining via web. Okay. So let's get into the definition of perversion. Now, a lot of us have heard that word perversion or perverted, you know, when you go, he's a pervert. And we've turned it into a creepy guy peeking out of the window, probably jerking off or doing something crazy and sexual, or got sexual desires that's a little weird. So we say, oh, he's a pervert. Or that's so perverted. You know, it's usually, like I said, someone that's less attractive, you know what I mean? And they're perverts because they have this weird sexual fantasies and desires. And like I said, it's usually creepy. And you just, you know, and so when you think of a pervert, you're thinking of somebody that you definitely wouldn't sleep with. And two, they're like weirdo, probably. Well, I'm not going to say introverted, like this introverted is a bad thing because I'm a little bit of an introvert. But it's just a weirdo, basically, if that makes sense, like a sexual weirdo. But that's not what perversion totally means. That's just like a little piece of it. Anyway, let's get into the definition of perversion. Okay. There we go. It's open. So perversion definition is the alteration of something from its original course, meaning, or state. It's the alteration of the meaning, alteration of the state, alteration of its original course. It's corruption of what was first intended, misrepresentation, falsification, misinterpretation, twisting, misuse, abnormal, unacceptable, turned aside, distorted from the right, stubborn, contrary, cross, intent to vex, untractable, turning from truth. I mean, I can keep on going on about the definitions of perversion. You see how sex never really came up? So we use that word, like I said, it's sexual, it's just part of it. It's not the definition of it. It's one of the things that can be perverted, you know, like we see today with the sexual laws and all that other stuff. Everything is so that everybody can run and be free and have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, and as much as you want. And part of that is from perversion of the definition of what was it was intended for. And we all kind of fell under that list and never really gave it another thought, you know. And because of it, now we have pedophilia is now becoming legal in most states. It's already legal. They're already legalizing it. It also fell under the law with same-sex marriages. Nobody was paying attention because they were so busy looking at the same-sex marriage laws that they didn't read the fine print that was attached to that. So basically how that works is when a law comes into place, it's like the law put on the table and the stack is this high. Nobody's reading the stack of what that law entails and what also will follow. They just give an overview of, hey, this is the same-sex law of marriage, and they pass it. And then they got this whole list of stuff that's under that nobody really reads. And unfortunately, pedophilia was under there, because they were saying, the people that are into that were saying, well, if you are allowing them to have sex based on their sexual preference, well, we too, our sexual preference is minors. So why do you grant them their sexual preference? Because the sexual preference should be broad and not, oh, just same-sex marriages. It should be whatever your sexual preference is. And you know what? They made such a great argument that they said, okay. So now pedophilia became legal in that state. I believe California was the first state, and then it's just trickling. Now that's what happens. One person does it, and then it trickles all the way down. That's like that politician in Hastings, Pennsylvania, making it a law. If you're renting an apartment to an illegal immigrant, then you get fined. I think he started off with $1,000 or something like that. So it made everybody go, ooh, ooh. And then it also made the other states follow suit with that. They didn't realize he was just trying to get reelected. Because why are you worried about illegal immigrants? All of us, you know, it's like one of those things. And then he also was the one that, I got a war on drugs. And it was, again, why you all of a sudden got a war on drugs? I thought it was war on drugs since the beginning of drugs hitting scenes. You know, so they do this glorified area so that they can get voters or whatever. And it worked. It worked like a thing. Scripted, okay, it worked. I feel like to say, all this stuff fell under, let's say, abortion. That's one of the things that fall under perversion when you're dealing with sexual perversion, because it's like, oh, you can have sex and with as many people as you want to, and if you slip up and get pregnant, we can kill the baby. And it just makes you kind of feel free to say, oh, good, backup plan. You know, what do you think the purpose of a condom is? You can use a condom, and you're protected from having sex with whoever you want to have sex with, which is not true. I mean, it doesn't really protect you. That's the weird thing about it. You know, it's again, it's just let's pervert sexual intercourse. This beautiful, loving thing that God created that was supposed to be shared with two people in love and married, let's pervert it. Let's let it be. It's almost like if you're still doing that, you are abnormal. You're doing it the right way and in love, and it's just you and that person, and y'all want to get married. It's almost like that's the abnormal now. They're doing twos and threes and orgies, and like all of that stuff is the norm now because of the sexual intercourse has been perverted so bad to the point where normal looks abnormal and abnormal looks normal. Okay, they took it a step further. You don't have to be a girl. You can be a boy. Or you don't have to be a boy. You can be a girl. So, this is not limited to just sex. It's not limited to just. So when you say perversion, people are thinking it's everything is under attack right now. And they're starting very young with the children in school. They're confusing them and saying, oh, if you're a boy and you want to be a girl, you can be a girl. And your mommy and daddy got to support what you do. And they got to support your decision. And if they don't, it's child abuse. That's what they're saying. But it's perverting that. I'm going to say that's perversion of human nature, because what they're saying is, oh, God made a mistake, and you can correct that mistake. Everything is under attack. Everything is being twisted, corrupted. I mean, he has not left, what they call it, no leaf unturned. No, he has not. But I'm going to tell you the three areas in which he thrives in. And he really doesn't operate. I mean, he does, but he really doesn't move from these three areas. The first one is perversion. The second is fear. The third is anger. And the fourth is gossip. Yeah, I know. You wouldn't even think gossip would be in that category, but it is. These are the four most common realms the enemy operates in: perversion, fear, anger, and gossip, right? So we're going to dive a little bit into the perversion, the perversion aspect of it, because studying, like I said, I didn't realize how common this word was in the Bible. It's talked about the scriptures, and I didn't realize that. And it's one of those words, like I said, we just throw it around. So perversion, you know, like we throw the word around so loosely that I really wasn't paying attention to what it's actually, you know, like the real meaning. I'm just thinking, oh, like sexual perversion. Like I said, as soon as you think of perversion, you think of sex, and it's not what's happening here. It's trickery, okay? And in whatever way of trickery, it's trickery. So let's get into the scriptures. Let me just do this one thing. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yeah, let's get into the scriptures with this. Let me show you. Okay, so perversion of what areas? Thoughts, understanding. And those thrive in three main realms: money, philosophy, and sexual behavior. I'm going to say that again. Perversion thrives in three main, I'm going to say brackets: money, philosophy, and sexual behavior. Perversion thrives in three main areas: money, philosophy, and sexual behavior. And we can, I mean, I can go on and on about money and God saying the love of money is the root to all evil, right? I can read the scriptures about God saying you can't serve him and mammon. Love of money. Okay. Too evil. Not being able to serve God and that. I can go on and on about honoring God with your substance. Like, so I don't want to talk about the perversion category of money. Like, that's like a total separate show. And we maybe it'll make sense to break them down in each show. I'm not sure. But so for now, I want to just deal with the philosophy aspect of it, because that's how Satan got Eve to go against what the Creator had told her husband, Adam, which is to philosophize what the word says. Let's, you know, you can think, I want you to look at it from this angle or look at it from another angle. You're not looking at it the way it should be. And this, and that philosophy is what is keeping it fueled. All these laws and all this other stuff, that's because they got somebody to philosophize with them. Yeah, man, let's say you get a little kid. And they're not comfortable being a little boy. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you want to be a little girl. Well, you should be able to have a right to choose if you want to be a girl or boy. Like, that's philosophy at its finest. And then the human mind starts reasoning in what the speaker is saying. That's why God tells us to guard our eyes, guard our ears, guard our mouth. Because what are you looking at? What are you listening to? All of a sudden, these things will just be regular to you, like acceptable to you, in other words. I mean, look at all of us. Did any of us say, wow, I'm going to remain a virgin and up until I get married? Like, which one of us said that? So obviously the sexual perversion has thrived to present day. You can't say, oh, that was back in the garden. And no, it's still kicking present day. Look what's going on. Everybody's lesbian. Everybody's gay. And if they not fully wanting to take the hormone pills and totally transform themselves and they dress as such, look at the music. How perverse is the music? I mean, you can't even listen to regular songs without feeling some type of way. I mean, I have to update my folders. I mean, I've been saying that for a long time, but because I like to keep my phone on, my music on shuffle, And every now and again, the song will play like, and I got to, you know, skip over it. Besides, I've got to update my hopes. But what I'm saying is the music is perverted. The food is perverted. Yeah, food is perverted. Everything is perverted. Clothing. You went shopping lately? You been in the mall? You been in the clothing stores? Have you seen the children's department? You see the low-cut shorts they have in the children's department? Low-cut tank tops in the children's department? High heels, sandals for the little girls, high heels, boots. Like, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? They've perverted the fashion industry. They've perverted everything. Well, I'm not going to say anything, but it looked like they perverted everything. So these are things we need to be aware of. So let's get into this. Let's get into this. Like I said, is money, philosophy, sexual behavior? I just want to get into the philosophy area tonight. I can't cover it all. We can get into the other stuff another time. Really quick, let's go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Okay. This is Moses' song. For those, we should be really, really familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 32. And if not, start getting familiar with it, okay? But anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 32 says, let's just start right in verse 1. I have flag 5. Let's start in verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, as the work is perfect. Excuse me. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Verse 5. This is the verse I actually flagged. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old, and consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, the elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. And I can keep on going with the rest of the song, but I just wanted to show you in Deuteronomy chapter 32, 5, how it was already, it was already perverse and crooked back then, okay? Because perversion started in the garden, okay? That was verse 5. He says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Nothing's changed this generation. We still are. I mean, it's just sad. You know what I'll do? Because I got some OT new tea. I don't know why they separated OT new tea. My storage is full. You know what? I'll stay in the OT for a minute. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 20. First Samuel chapter 20. And you know what? I'm gonna read that one last because I have more language with that one. Actually, no, let's just read it because then I don't have to go back to the OT. This is 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30. I wanted to save this one for last so I can show you how hot flip happened, but I'll just read it. I'll start in verse 26 because basically Saul's on a hunt for David. He realizes his son Jonathan has been a little bit helping David and kind of, helping David break away, whatever the case may be. So, and Saul kind of is questioning Jonathan about David's whereabouts. So in verse 26, it says, "Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan, his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today?" So he's inquiring about David's whereabouts to his son. Verse 28, "And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath the sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thy eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table." So Jonathan is covering for David, basically. 30, "Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." So basically Saul flipped it on his son Jonathan and said, you know what? You from that rebellious woman, and basically this is what, you from a rebellious woman, so this is what, excuse me, you from a perverse, rebellious woman, so this is what y'all do. This is how y'all getting down, because here you are flipping the script on me. I'm your dad. That's because of your mama. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? He's saying you from a perverse, rebellious woman, and here you are, her son, which is also his son, acting perverse and rebellious like your mama. Okay? That's why I wanted to read that one last, to say when you are dealing with perversion, the person that's initiating perverting whatever the language is going to be, perverted, or whatever avenue or area it is, philosophy, whatever avenue it is, they will first flip it on you, make you think you the perverse one. That's what Saul tries to do here. Here, mind you, you're trying to kill the king because of your jealousy, and I'm your son, and I can see that you're wrong, but you getting mad at me because I'm calling you out on your wickedness, and I'm not even calling you out. I'm just kind of just trying not to be down with this mess of killing this king, this great man David, who's now my friend, and now you trying to flip it on me and call me perverse and rebellious because I'm not down with your wicked ways. You better believe somebody perverse will try. Now, if they shouldn't be successful, because it said, like, they can't fool the very elect. But be mindful of that, they'll make you think you going crazy, you losing your mind, but really behind the scenes, you're just calling them on their mess. So, like I said, same script, different cast. This is just what I'm pointing out tactics here. Something wrong with you, not them, right? Something's wrong with you. You the perverse one. You know? Like they're saying to the children, if your parents don't support your decision to transform yourself into the opposite sex, that's child abuse. That's flipping it on the parents. Nothing has changed. It's the same tactics. What's the purpose of this show? To highlight those tactics, because we're not paying attention. And that's why he's been saying from the beginning, you're a perverse and crooked nation. We're not seeing this perversion. When it happens, when it comes upon us, we're not seeing it, so we keep on falling in that hole. We got to get out of that hole. So that's basically the intent here. Let's dig ourselves out of this hole. The hole of perversion. Right? Porn. If you want to add sexual, like I said, for this show, we're just talking about the philosophy aspect of it. But all evidence is being taken and perverted and flipped. Okay? Now let's get into... I got so many scriptures here. Let's see, how are we doing with time? Time is shooting by. Well, now let's get into the Proverbs, because a lot of scriptures, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe how many times perverted and perverse was used in Proverbs. Okay? And we all know Proverbs, an awesome chapter. Like I said, when you get some time, we can read the whole Proverbs. But for the sake of time in the show, I just flagged a few of them. Like I said, it's a lot. I just flagged a few of them. The first one I flagged was Proverbs chapter 4. And, I'm going to read this whole chapter. I had only flagged 24, verse 24. But the whole chapter is amazing. Let me read the whole chapter of Proverbs 4. I mean, it's not long at all. It's quick wording. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Oh, let me check. Make sure we don't have any questions or comments. Perfect. I don't see anything on the phone. Perfect. I don't see anything in the chat box. I don't think I've seen. Marissa RDRC says, hey, sister. Hey, Marissa, how are you? Thank you, everybody, for joining. Really appreciate it. Very much so. Thank you. Dwayne Dixon says, hey, I wanted to tell you what happened to me. Okay, inbox me as soon as possible. Rio Lily says, I don't know you, but my energy loves you. Thank you so much, Rio. I appreciate that. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Steve always camping says, ZZZZ, whatever, Steve. You always camping out on my videos. And then we put in Z. Okay, let's keep moving. So, Proverbs chapter 4 says, hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, for she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Verse 13, take fast hold of instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fail. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of the wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Oh, Gary, that's my alarm. Sorry. Where was I? Oh, for they eat the bread of the wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the... Where am I? 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, this is verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. See? I mean, I love this scripture. I mean, verse 4 is hardcore. But did you catch verse 24? Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Okay? Put those things away, God is saying. Like, and then he goes on and on and on about wisdom. I mean, he goes on and on. So that's Proverbs 4:24. I'm not sure we'll be able to go the full 2 hours today, but we'll see. As soon as... what you call it? Turn to Proverbs 12. As soon as I'm at work, so I have to cut it short today. I'm not sure. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8 says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Right? Figure out why perversion is so bad, right? Proverbs, go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, chapter, let's just start from verse 1. This is Proverbs chapter 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Do you see why this is so bad? It's a breach in the spirit. It's not my words, it's not my opinion. It says right here, perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. What is a breach? A gap, a barrier, a break, rupture, violation, etc. I can keep on going. Not good. It's separation, if you want to say that. If somebody breached a contract, that means you broke a contract. Deals off. So this is saying breach in the spirit, meaning deals off. Like, how are you going to serve God and, you know, deals off? There's a breach in the spirit. So that's why this is so serious. Doesn't sound serious, and you see how, like, this is all throughout the scriptures, perverseness. Oh, perverted nation, perverted nation. I can keep on going. Let's go to Proverbs 17. Same language, verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. A perverse tongue. You don't want a perverse tongue. And then jump down to 23, verse 23. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. So who's doing the perversion? Wicked people. This is a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. The idea and the goal and the agenda is to pervert the ways of judgment. Let's pervert it so much that you don't want it. You don't want no part of judgment. You don't want no part of goodness. You don't want no part of just. Make it so untouchable. I should say make it seem. Make it seem untouchable and reachable, right? Doesn't all the world think, oh, you can't be perfect, so I might as well never seek God. I'm going to hell anyway, so I'm going to get all I can get right now. That's a trick of the devil. He's managed to convince you that nothing you do, whatever matter, you're destined to hell anyway. You're not qualified to even try to walk this walk, so why bother? And how did he do that? With religion. With religion. Religion is the biggest perversion scam ever. Look like this, dress like that, eat this, eat that, don't eat this, don't eat that, say this, say that, go to this church, do this, say that, our way, no God in that at all. That if you want to, religion was like the Pharisees. No God in it, no love in it, no peace in it. No happiness, it's just do's. This is the do's, this is the don'ts, and if you don't do the do's and don't do the don'ts, and you know what people said? I ain't doing that. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But I'm married to my husband, he beats me. Oh, you can't get divorced. That's religion. You can't get... I can't get divorced. I'm getting beat up. You can't get divorced. Or my husband's cheating on me. You can't get divorced. Religion. Oh, nope. You made a vow. The vow said for better or worse. Don't even say that. Religion. Got people in bondage. And that's why it was created, to keep people in bondage, right? Proverbs 28, did we read that already? Oh, yeah, we did. So I read all the Proverbs. I want to show you something in Matthew for the new tea folks. Matthew 17, right? I don't think I'm going to be able to go the whole 2 hours. Actually, I'm going to as soon as they come in, I'm going to have to leave. To go upstairs. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 17. Well, let me tell you what's going on here a little bit. The disciples are trying to cast out a demon from homeboy. They were unsuccessful, right? So in verse 4, this is Matthew chapter 17. Let's jump down to 14 first. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. So what is perverseness called? Lack of power. Lack of power. You can't operate in the spirit because there's a breach in the spirit. Lack of power. And it's not my words. I just read it. What happened because of their perverse, that's what the language Jesus used. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And in verse 18 says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. What did they manage to do present day? See how sickness and disease was associated with evil and the devil and demons and all that? What did they manage to perverse? Don't make them think that. Make them think it's something else. Give them medication. Glorify the doctors. Glorify the medication. Where they never make them get the healing on their, make them think they're getting the healing on their own. So they would run to the hospitals and doctors before getting on their knees. That's called perverse. We look at sickness from a total different perspective because of it. Never saying, oh, this is an open door, an open portal that is allowing my body to experience symptoms because I'm under attack. And finding out where the attack is coming from, and find out where the attack is coming from and try to get that cleared up or repent for it or whatever. No, running to the doctors and paying all these co-pays and medicine and all this and all that. Never judging oneself, never healing the way Jesus healed. Okay? That is called perversion. Perversion, never judging oneself, never even thinking perhaps you were in violation of something and the enemy was granted access to attack your body. No, let's pervert it where they don't see sickness as it should be seen. And guess what? Who does? Nobody. Well, I'm not going to say nobody. I don't know everybody. That was Matthew 17, right? Really, really quick, let's go to the Philippians. I'm going to have to hang up as soon as I'm working today. Sorry, I'm working every day. But, 378. Let's really quick go to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to show you something. 378. Let's just get right to the scriptures. I flagged chapter 15, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's the purpose of perversion. So we don't shine like lights in the world. In the world, we should be shining like lights, and not if we're perverted and crooked. See the intent there? Let's pervert it. Let's make it crooked. Why? So that they don't shine. Right? And that's actually a good chapter to read when you get some time. Read it. Philippians is an awesome read. Please read it when you get some time. Do we have time to, yeah, let's go to Timothy. 1 Timothy, actually. Let me show you this. Timothy chapter 6. Let's just get right into it. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. It's saying stay away from people like that. It says in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Right? So what's the purpose of that? To be content. Who do you know is content? Nobody. Everybody's on a paper chase, on a mission. More and more and more. I need more money. I need more women. I need more this. I need more men. I need more this. I need more cars. I need more bigger house. I need more kids. I need this. Who satisfies pervert contentment? I gotta go. I'll have to do like a part two. I'm very, very sorry. But yeah, I'm working. And today's a really weird Monday for me. So I'm gonna have to break it short. Let me make sure there's no. I didn't see any. I like to kind of watch the comments as I'm doing it, but I didn't see anything. So, okay, I hate to cut it short. I do apologize, but I got some things to do, and I have to do them. But I don't want to leave any souls on the table before I do. If you want in on this and you're tired of being perverse and being yo-yoed around to and fro like that enemy, and he's attacking you and perverting everything about you and your ways, and you have warped views, and he philosophizes with you, and you took that bait, and you want to come on back, fine. Open your mouth and say, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days he arose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the promise of abundant life spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. Welcome to the kingdom. If you said that, you're in. It's as simple as that. You're in. Let me make sure there's no callers. Oh, there's a caller. If you are on the line and you have a question or comment, you can press #1, and I can unmute your mic. However, I was getting ready to end the show. I just see the one caller there. I'm just going to just end the show, and I do apologize. If you want to post your question or comment, you probably was just listening, but if you wanted to post your question or comment on my Facebook, I will get back to you via Facebook. But, yeah, I have to end the show, and I do apologize. It was supposed to go on to 9, but I got to end a little early, and I don't see nothing in the chat box, so I can close that out. Yeah, I'm very, very sorry, everybody. I got some things to get. Today was a real weird Monday. Like, so much was going on, so many emergencies was coming up. So I do apologize, but have a blessed rest of the week. Please join me Monday, okay? Hopefully I'll be a little bit less chaotic next Monday. And check me out if I can maybe squeeze. I think I'm going to probably start trying to do that, like squeeze videos in here and there, because I got a lot of topics piled up because I haven't been able to consistently, you know what I'm saying? It's piled up, so maybe I can just squeeze videos in here and there. Just stay tuned. I post all my videos on my Blog Talk page called Shamika Blog Talk Radio Show, Remnant Peculiar Israelite. So keep up with me. All right, y'all. Have a blessed week. Over and out.